Yam Time is brought to you by Saini Media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yam Time, Episode 1. You're here with the Hoopologist. You're here with the infamous ZZ Huncho, and you're here with Saini.gov. I think I'm just going to rattle off different nicknames for you guys every EP.
But, they're not going to understand
nicknames. Saini works in a government building. Saini.gov. There you go.
I work for the government.
Anyways, I am so excited to get into this new era for us in podcasting. We have some great topics, including the trade deadline, some Steph Curry clutch claims, as well as some other things that we just want to get off our chest. If you don't mind, guys, if I start, my dad took me to the Knicks-Mavericks game the other day. Some of you guys may have seen the Luka behind the back pass.
It was so cold.
I saw that in person from the 200s. It was impressive. I just want to express my my anger because it was a great time. Me and my dad had, you know, some nice food and just great conversation, and even the train ride in was all great. The one game of the season for the Knicks where Charlie Brown Jr. has serious minutes, where Jacob Toppin touches the court, is of course the game I go to. I don't know if you guys saw, the Knicks had 7 players active, and by the end of the game, they had 6. Isaiah Hartenstein did something to his Achilles, and he was out. Taj Gibson had his hands on his knees from playing like 30 minutes that game, had to start the next one. So of course, Jalen Brunson rolls his ankle the game before. I go in the worst time of the year. I just wanted to share how upset I was, because I told you guys I was going. That's the update.
Did you say Taj Gibson?
Taj Gibson is on the New York Knicks. Yeah, he had a 10-day earlier, and they dropped him because they didn't need him after Jericho Sims and Hartenstein were balling. And then once they went down again, they re-signed Taj to another 10-day.
Shout out Taj then. Good.
It's like Thibodeau got a little bat signal for Taj Gibson. He's like turning it on. Sims is like limping over to it to turn on the light for him. That sucks. And especially Hoop, I remember like when we watched that Knicks game, the Suns Knicks, Brunson was just starting to turn up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember in that moment, like watching that game, thinking that's one of the greatest players I've ever seen play in person. Like Brunson was actually such a beautiful thing to watch. So I feel that pain because that guy is just buckets every time he touches the ball. And you can see it over the TV. But when you see, and when we were up close, right? So just the way that guy, his footwork is actually. I saw somebody say it's comparable to Kobe.
I said that.
Was it you? I swear I forgot. And I remember you said that. And I thought about it. And I was like,
I'll stand on that.
Like, that's not like. Obviously, I'm taking Kobe over Brunson in terms of footwork, but Brunson is up there. So that hurts. You missed Devin Booker.
Shout out Charlie Brown Jr., though.
You missed Devin Booker, and now you miss Jalen Brunson.
I did see Kyrie do some pretty cool layups and layup lines. some nice English off the glass. So
it's crazy that my the only game that I've been to was a Charlotte Hornets San Antonio Spurs game.
And we got to change that soon.
I'm glad that I got to see Isaiah Thomas in person. You know what I'm saying? He was on a 10-day.
On Charlotte?
But I kid you not, swear to God, he was on like his 9th day.
He was on his 9th day.
I don't think I saw Buddy like the next game. I don't know. He just disappeared after that.
He was on his 9th day.
anyone need a backup point guard?
Oh, yo, that's the funniest tweet, man. Anyway, we're not gonna get into that. Let's talk a little bit of very recent NBA news before we get started. If you're an old OG fan of the podcast, now Yam Time, we used to just do like random stuff at the beginning, just of like whatever was popping before we kind of got the episode started. And today we want to dabble into Spencer Dinwiddie because, as you all know, I mean, I'm sure you know by now, he signed with the Lakers after being waived by the Raptors. And I didn't even know he was deciding between the Lakers and the Mavs. I found this out from the quote. But apparently Dinwiddie had the choice between the Mavericks or the Lakers, and this is what he had to say about it. Let's say, and this is quote for quote him, I'm reading this word for word. Let's say you're a kid and you get your ass whooped by the bully. Dallas would have been like your mama, being like, it's okay, baby. Lakers are like your dad. Nah, you better go out there and fight till you win. And then on top of that, just as like a little cherry on top, if the Lakers win a championship this season, this is like one of the most lucrative, insane deals I've ever seen. Nobody's really talking about it. But Dinwiddie gets an extra dollar, you know? So they really broke the bank for Dinwiddie to get on the Lakers.
It's like half a McChicken.
It's a half a McChicken. He's basically, they're basically like, next time you go get an order, like, sauce is on us, you know? You go get yourself some extra sauce or whatever you need to do. But a dollar for a title is just, there's a few contracts like that. I don't know if you guys remember Nick Collison, Thunder legend. Mm-hmm. He would have got paid. He had an incentive to win like the MVP in his contract. There's something crazy. And it's just these weird incentives that I never understood with the NBA. But I think that Dinwiddie getting an extra dollar for a championship might be one of the funniest ones I've seen.
Yeah. It's funny.
Collison was just betting on himself, bro. Don't you?
Yeah. I can pull that up specifically while you guys talk about it. But what do you guys think about what Dinwiddie had to say, especially looking at how the Mavericks look now with the two bigs they've got? And obviously, they look insane. They just blew out my Thunder by 35 a couple days ago.
You got it.
I told you, bro. I know a diss when I hear one. And that was a diss right at Luka. I don't care what nobody say. Bro said, it's okay, baby. That implies that he is saying that Dallas, anytime Luka loses, is like, it's okay, baby. You're going to get it next time. Like, go wash up and get ready for dinner. Meanwhile, he's calling the Lakers his dad. That's crazy. I mean,
yeah, that.
Nah, I heard. Hold up. The top comment on the Instagram post. Sorry, I'm eating some mixed nuts right now. My
mouth. You're doing. Oh, so you're doing what?
Some Stop and Shop brand mixed nuts.
He doubled down. He said the brand. He doubled down. He said the brand. Anyway, continue.
No, the top comment on the Instagram post was like, yo, he's calling LeBron his dad.
Le daddy, right there. but I don't know. I think I've talked to one of my friends who's a Laker fan, and I asked him about if he was excited about the addition of Spencer Dinwiddie. He looked me dead in my eyes and said, "Who?" And I was like, "Yo, that's crazy. That's so wild. They can't be doing my man's like that. That's a Brooklyn Nets legend right there, Spencer Dinwiddie." Like, let's
I
be
find
real.
It. I find it hilarious how the Lakers of all teams. A LeBron-led team of all teams didn't make a single move at the trade deadline, especially being where they are. As we know, LeBron loves to just switch the whole team up right when the halfway point of the season comes up, because then that excuse is there of like, whoa, we've only had the team for half the season. What do you want us to do about it? And their big move was keeping Torian Prince and signing Dinwiddie. I don't understand why they didn't press to get DeJounte Murray more. Mm-hmm. That did not make sense to me, because I feel like, I mean, I saw a lot of reports. Here's the thing, and the one thing I hate about the NBA is that there's so many rumors that fly around. You don't know who to trust. Like, for example, like, I mean, I'm going to mention something real quick, a difference for, like, in the football and the soccer world, there's this one guy, his name is Fabrizio, right? He was the most searched person on Twitter last year. He's, like, the most famous person in the world, because if the information isn't coming out of his mouth, it's not true, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that credible source where it's like, if he says it, then you know it's true. If he doesn't say it, I don't believe it. We don't really have that in the NBA. Which is what I don't really like. I mean, we have Shams and Woj, but let's be honest, they're like trade deadline type of dudes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're not like report on the rumors and give me valid information all the time. Like, they're not like, I don't know how to explain it. There isn't like a main voice in the NBA to always trust, to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to believe in terms of what happened with the Lakers and the Hawks when it came to DeJounte Murray. But I don't know why they did not figure out a way, because to me, it was like, that was really your only chance to get back into some sort of contention. Because even though it's the Lakers and LeBron, first of all, LeBron is 40. And I know we said this when he was 30, right? But like, there's no possible way in this Western Conference where the 1-4 seed is separated by a game, and then the 5th and 6th seed are like the Mavericks and the Kings. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe it's different. I don't know. I haven't looked at the standings, but like, that's the Western Conference we're seeing
these
days.
Yeah, like the Pels in there.
Yeah, like you have some, bro. The Pelicans, I don't even consider the Pelicans a first.
I barely think of them, and they're really, really solid.
Exactly. I think of them as a first round exit, and I think they would sweep the Lakers genuinely at the state they are now compared to the Lakers. Yeah. Because number one, that Reeves, D'Angelo Russell backcourt, where's the defense, right? Like that is the fact that they didn't find. The pedestal that they're apparently putting Austin Reeves on, I'll never understand. I will never understand. I don't know. They could have shipped him out multiple times at this point. I'm sure of it. And I think that the Hawks wanted Austin Reeves or any. I saw a report that any star that the Lakers wanted to get, they would have to give up Austin Reeves, and they didn't.
Did you see the what? Not that they would have gotten Caruso, but you see what the Bulls wanted for him? They said an OG Anunoby type package.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that. That's crazy. I was like,
that's crazy.
But he is like, I mean, I don't know if he's worth an Anunoby deal, but he is that type of championship player. Like,
no, he is exactly. He's the type.
Every
of guy,
team could use an AC.
He's the type of guy you overpay in free agency because you have the extra funds to do it. Like, he's the type of guy. If I was the Celtics, I'd give him like 10-15 mil, just to have that one part to like hold me down or whatever. And I not to say that the Celtics eat him. I'm just saying like a team that's in the Celtics position just to double down and really go all out on spending. Let's bring in a really reliable
moves.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's not a, let me trade 3 first round picks for him.
Yeah.
Cause it's not worth like, anyway, we're getting off topic. All I got to say is, I don't know. And I guess we're kind of transitioning into the Lakers and the trade deadline talks. Cause I know we said we were going to do that anyway, which is a very seamless transition. So let's start with the negatives, I guess, or the teams that did the worst. I think by far the Lakers were the worst team this trade deadline in terms of where they are and where they were supposed to be. For you not to make a move when you still have Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the roster and you had pieces to move, let's be real. Yeah. D'Angelo Russell turned up and is still turning up. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know what I mean? And you have Austin Reeves. And you know you're not going to win a championship with that lineup, so why not sacrifice one of or even both those guys and bring in some new pieces? Why is Torian Prince still on that roster? Right? There's a lot of critique, and I hate to throw strays at my boy Torian Prince. I hate to do it.
You know what? I despise Torian Prince. It's not because he's a negative asset to the Lakers. It's because he's the guy who ruined Julius Randle's 57-point performance. Yeah. The man decided to hit like 12 threes that night. Never forget Torian Prince.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a trend we're seeing too with players, and I feel like Dinwiddie's really going to fall off, is that when dudes get to the Lakers, they don't, like, they just fall off to me. Like, what, I don't know what it is.
I don't know if you guys watch baseball, but a lot of teams can't play for the Yankees, and the second they leave, and because I don't know if you guys know the rule, like they have to shave their beards and all that. They got to look classy. Mm. Not that it has anything to do with their beards, but like the second they leave the pinstripes and get a beard back, they just go stupid. And I don't know if it's because of the crowd, because the LA fans are a lot like Yankee fans with the just expected dominance.
Right.
And expectation. But like, you know, there's a lot of dudes that can't play for a storied franchise like that.
I know what you're about to say, this. I know what you're about to say. I already know what you're about to say. He's going to say it's the Lakers or someone else. I'll let you finish your point. I already know what you're about to say.
This is only, and the only reason that Sadie knows is because he knows that any point in time I can just throw in just like a stray of hate, I'm going to do it. Is it the Lakers? Like, let's be real. Is it the Lakers? Or is it that man in 23?
Exactly. I was the second I heard Z go, is it the Le-? I was like, he's gonna say LeBron. He's gonna say LeBron. Like, he's about to. Nah. And the thing is, I will say this: I don't believe that players get worse playing with LeBron, but he has a track record. Like, you can't deny that he has had a lot of players who have fallen off since they started playing beside him. And, you know, there's a lot of factors.
No one wants to talk about that, though.
Nobody wants to talk about Caleb. Bro, nobody wants to talk about Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh was, like, and I get he was an all-star in Miami and whatnot, right? But, like, I don't know. I don't want to start talking crazy and giving these rumors out. But I'm just saying a lot of players. And you could just talk about Kyle Korver was, like, 45.
Nah, Korver was tough.
No. Here's my thing. Kyle Korver, let me keep going. Let me think of all the shooters or young guys. Just to answer your question, Sandy, about Austin Reeves and why he didn't get moved. Why you think? Bron was like, y'all is not trading my nephew. I don't give a damn what y'all say. Y'all not trading my white nephew. You're not doing that. And Austin Reeves is chilling. Braun will find at least one young guy, whether it's Chetty Osman or obviously Austin Reeves, Kyrie. Literally, he was praising Kyrie when he was in Miami. So it was like, okay, yeah, I want to go play with the young rook. And then they get over there, and then one reporter asks Kyrie, is LeBron like a father figure to you? And yeah. That pisses Kyrie off. And now he's like, oh, nah, let me go lead my own team. Fails. But anyway, the point is, LeBron.
That's actually a crazy question.
It is.
It is a crazy question.
I would feel like disrespected. I would. I genuinely would. Like, you asked about a grown ass man that I play basketball with. Like,
I was always such a Kyrie lover too. I don't understand why he gets so much disrespect for a lot of the things he's done. I think there's a valid reason for about everything he's done.
I think the media is about to get him.
I think the only thing that you could really go at him was that like anti-Semitic thing that was going on. But even then,
the Amazon shop. Whatever.
Even then, that was really blown out of proportion. I don't think he was if he was mistakenly anti-Semitic. I don't think he was purposely.
Hey, not to get political, but shout out Kyrie.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna get political in this. We're not gonna do all that. Anyway, all I'm gonna say is I don't think LeBron makes his teammates worse. I think that's a very big overreaction take. I can agree that the track record's there, but then you also have to think like, I mean, he made 10 straight finals. That's just what happens when you sacrifice to win for a team. And let's be real, like especially in that 10-year run, bro, you're not better than LeBron if you're on that team. Right? Like there's not a single player on that planet that would get more touches than LeBron James in any of those games he played. So fair enough. I mean, credit to him, but I knew you were going to say it, Z. I knew you were going to say it. But I want to switch to a more positive side. And we're going to leave Hoops team for last because I think they were the best. But let's go in the middle ground here and talk about my boys. Okay. Yeah. OKC made one of their first trade deadline moves. Since I was, since puberty hit for me, okay, I as an OKC fan, you rarely see a solid trade deadline move, like a solid one. I think the last one that got me excited was trading for Dion Waiters back in like 2015, and Hoop is just downing
nuts.
He's just downing nuts.
The gobbledygooker over there.
Anyway, Gordon Hayward. And here's the thing. My initial thoughts on this trade was I loved it, and now I'm kind of iffy about it because at first it was just Gordon Hayward for Trey Mann and Davis Bertans. Now, losing Trey Mann hurts. I love Trey Mann genuinely, but he did not play, and we have too many young guards. End of story. Like, go find your role in Charlotte, bro. Like, turn up. You know, he has the talent for it. He just wasn't meant for our team. At the end of the day, the way he plays, he's like a score-first guard. We have Shai Gilgeous, you know what I mean? Like, we have a solid rotation of guards. We don't need him. But then I find out that, and I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm going to butcher it. As an Oklahoma fan, this is bad. Mykics. He was the MVP of the EuroLeague. Serbian dude. He's 30 years old. He's kind of old. But bro went off for 18-9 in his first game with Charlotte in like 20-something minutes in the first game we traded him. He never really got minutes either. Again, like he's a guard. There was no space in the rotation. But to lose a vet like that hurt. And then we also gave up picks as well. So we did give a lot.
You're tripping.
What?
It's Gordon Hayward, though. I'm not saying it's all-star Gordon Hayward.
Bro, but here's the thing, okay? We also gave up picks. They were never disclosed. They just said picks. I got to look into it. But they never really disclosed what we gave up. But, bro, that's a lot for a dude who has not played over 40 games since he had a Utah Jazz jersey on, right? I can figure out the exact amount of games he's been playing. That might be a stretch. But I really hope, because before it was a low-risk, high-reward situation. Now it's like, okay, if Gordon Hayward doesn't play, this looks really bad on us.
I don't know. I think he'd be nice with J-Dub, to be completely honest.
No, but you're not letting me finish my point. Because our issue wasn't trying to get a Gordon Hayward type of dude. We needed a rebounder. And I promise you, with that same package, we could have went out and got somebody like an Andre Drummond, right? And we bring in a guy who we can't even guarantee will be healthy, and now we're forced to sign Biyombo in free agency just to fill in that lack of rebounding. Now, if Sam Presti wanted to bring in more or use more picks to go trade for a rebounder like Andre Drummond or use more assets to trade, then I would be like, okay, that makes sense. Like, cool. Like, you know, we're bringing Andre Drummond, whoever it may be. The fact that we use that package on Gordon Hayward and didn't pull the trigger on anything else is what kind of scares me, because we're identifying an issue that is not even close to as big as our size and rebounding, because Chet is getting bullied. And I'm really excited to see what Biyombo can do for us. But at the end of the day, let's be real, it's Biyombo. Like, what, like, how much is he going to bring to the table? I don't want to be, and I love Oklahoma, and I'm praying that he is back to 2016 Raptors playoff Biyombo.
I was going to say, didn't he have like 20 boards in a game or something?
Bro, there's a reason he's a free agent. Reality, let's talk. And he was on the Grizzlies before, bro. And the Grizzlies had 7 players and they still sent him to free agency. You know what I mean? But he was a 6-5 player, averaging 50% from the field, 55%, whatever. I hope he does good, but I'm also being a realist, and I'm also gonna lower. Like, at first, I was really excited about the Hayward trade, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, we had the trade. We clearly were willing to give up the assets to get somebody, and we used it on Gordon Hayward. So if Gordon Hayward does not stay healthy, and we have a chance to compete this year, right? That's the reality of it. We're doing great, and that could really come back to bite us. That's all I have to say about it.
Starting with Hayward, I think in terms of like the outlook of trying to get Drummond instead is definitely one that like would have been ideal. But I saw a report that the Bulls just weren't looking to trade him. And we could talk about the Bulls for a while and how it seems they're just like stuck in this mediocre land and they're okay with it. Mm. I saw a report that they're trying to build around DeMar DeRozan long term. For some reason, I don't know, build around, but it said like he's a long term piece, which is going to keep you fighting with tooth and nail to try to stay 500 just to get bounced in the playoffs so quick.
Yeah.
But Hayward, from what I can remember in Utah, at least when he was the lead man, he was like a solid playoff riser. I know he took Lob City down. Not to say that this is the same type of player he'll be for OKC, but when you have a versatile forward in Jalen Williams, I'm not saying from a on-court perspective, although on court, I think he'll hit shots. He'll be a steady hand. He could run a pick and roll, all that stuff, but he'll also help develop Jalen Williams, which I think would be dope, because Gordon Hayward was like being compared to, or in the same realm as like PG. In like 2017.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, you know, I just want to show you the bright side.
And I love Gordon Hayward. And again, like I would have loved to trade more if we made other moves. That's my issue. Yeah. My issue is not Gordon Hayward. My issue is it was only Gordon Hayward. And I have another thing to say, and I hate to say it, but why is Josh Giddey still on the Oklahoma City Thunder? He cannot.
I'm wondering the same thing.
He cannot not play basketball half the time. And I hate to say it, and I'm a big Giddey supporter, man.
Because y'all are trying to win now.
But he is not a win now player. Sometimes, man, his spacing. Oh my God. Like watching him play sometimes is aggravating. But other times he's a bucket. And I love it. But at the end of the day, it's the type of basketball you look at and you're like, my God, this is not going to work in the playoffs. This guy is not going to pan out well for us in the playoffs. I would have much rather keep Trey Mann as like another scoring option on the bench, somewhere deep on the bench, whatever, and get rid of Giddey instead. If we were to get rid of a guard, I'm surprised it was Trey Mann. I'm surprised Poku's still on the team. I have a Poku jersey. I love Poku, but I'm being a realist here. And I think I'm the only person in the world with a Poku jersey. I know I am, because I had to get the custom one where you put a custom name on it. This wasn't a Poku jersey for sale. This was I had to look up and get the little accent on the U and everything.
I was going
to
say, you spelled the name right.
Yeah, like I had to Google it and like autocorrect was messing me up. I had to look Pokemon. back and forth. Like I have a Poku jersey, bro, and I put effort into getting to that jersey, okay? I'm a Poku fan. Why are they on the team still? We are paying Poku like $12 million a year. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, bro, he's getting a bag.
Like
he's getting a bag. He's getting a bag.
Is it because they just like his name?
No, he was supposed to be good, bro, but he like broke his leg and then he just hasn't been the same. Oh. Anyway, all I got to say is I don't think Josh Giddey should still be on the team. I think Gordon Hayward was a great addition if you have more additions to come with it. Like, imagine we traded like a package of like Josh Giddey, Trey Mann.
Signed to White.
Oh, bro, signing. I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that. That's the thing.
I
some
be mad
vet rebounder, bro. And even if we get bounced out of the playoffs this year, it's just about the like having the team have experience playing with what they need. You know what I mean? Like, if Dwight Howard is 1/5 the player that we actually need at center, at least Shea and J-Dub and Lou Dort and all these guys can have experience playing with somebody like that in the post, so they know how to work around it, right? Because let's say we get some superstar center next year, whatever. Now we have to take a whole season transitioning these guys to play a new level of basketball. That's why you bring in a guy like that, even if he's much worse. If he's just a fraction of what it is you actually need, you can have your team build up the like experience to play with a dude like that. Because then it just seems like a seamless transition when you want to bring in somebody who's big. Because when's the last time OKC had a big man? Bro, Kyrie Williams is not a big man.
Yeah,
he's just a man. Right?
Steven Adams, yeah.
Steven Adams was the last time we had anybody that was like a legit center.
And Russ
Nerlens Noel was the guy that came after him who was like decent. You know what I mean?
Hey, Knicks legend Nerlens Noel.
Actually, I think Nerlens Noel left with Steven Adams. What am I saying? I think they left at the same time. Who have we had at center? Right? Like, who have we legitimately had at center since COVID? Since COVID. There was a global pandemic and we still haven't seen a 7-foot man who can rebound. Poku's 7-foot, but he weighs as much as me. He doesn't count.
Would you guys? Oh my God. I don't know the exact like dynamic of the Thunder. Like, I've tuned in, but like in terms of how Chet works at the five, would you consider having just the rebounder play spot minutes off the bench or move Chet to the four? Does that ruin like the spacing and the whole dynamic?
I would start with Chet at the five and the rebounder on the bench, but I would close with Chet at the four.
Because it's a cool dynamic to have Chet at the five.
Because it works at the beginning, bro, but then it's just bully ball halfway through the game. You know what I mean? It's literally like, for example, the Mavericks, bro. PJ Washington should not be catching backdoor lobs on us. That should not be. Bro, PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford's first NBA points on the Mavericks were lobs. On Isaiah Joe. Why the hell is Isaiah Joe trying to guard PJ Washington on a lob? He is a catch and shoot shooter who, by the way, why is he not in the 3-point contest? That's a whole other discussion I could have with Adam Silver, guest appearance.
Where yeah,
I
just they try to put the star power in there.
Why is Malik Beasley there, not Isaiah Joe? And Malik Beasley's been great, but why is Isaiah Joe not there? That's a whole other conversation.
They
anyway,
put Brunson and not DiVincenzo. That was crazy.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo.
It's a whole lot of. It's a mumbo jumbo circus. MIP. But all I'm going to say is, Oklahoma, you're almost there. And I'm willing to bear with it because I thought we was going to be a play-in team this season. So I'm going to be grateful for what it is, the position we're in now. I'm going to be grateful for it. I'm not going to be mad about it. But all I got to say is, if we were willing to give up those many assets, we should have been willing to give up a little more because those assets realistically won't give us a chance at a ring. Right? It's about now. Like, we have the opportunity to win now. Let's win now. But I think that leaves only one team left to talk about.
The Golden State Warriors.
What? No.
Sorry.
What did
Sorry,
they do?
I thought it was
what
my moment. I thought it was
do?
My moment. They did nothing.
They held Wiggs. They held Wiggs.
Chris Paul held a Warriors jersey. Klay Thompson went 2-for-10 or something in his last game.
Hey, no, yeah. I saw. No, Draymond was low-key frying Nurkic.
Draymond absolutely obliterated useless Nurkic. That's what he did. He turned that
and
man into
Nurkic
useless.
Went and cried about it. Yeah.
Yes, and that's the thing. This is why people ask me, why do you defend Draymond all the time? This is why. Because anytime Draymond does something, because it is Draymond Green. And because of his track record, which I admit, like Sandy did for LeBron,
no, don't go this route.
Record. It ain't the best track record, but it ain't the best track
bro,
record.
Bro, the first thing I thought of when Z said that was just the Superman punch.
I thought of the backhand. Yeah,
he's not perfect.
The fact
he's
that
not
we thought
perfect.
Of two different punches.
Well, you could think of the stomp. You could think of the nut kick.
Oh my God! I thought of the stomp and the nut kick.
No, I thought of when he choked
Rudy
Gobert. That was the one when he choked Rudy Gobert.
No, he's got a whole catalog.
Bro,
okay, let's be real. Okay, let's take a break for a second.
And it's always big centers. Like it's
yeah.
That's what I respect. It's always people bigger than him. I'll give him that. You know what? Let's at least give him that. He doesn't pick on people his own size. He goes bigger. And
exactly.
I love it. I'll give him that.
Okay, but let me break for a second before I continue. Top three Draymond Green minutes moments. Go. Everybody's each personal favorites.
Oh, Jordan Poole is number one. If you don't think Jordan Poole is number one, you're just trying to be different. You're just trying to be different if you don't think Jordan Poole is number one. Jordan Poole is by far, like, I think that's the most menace moment in recent NBA history. Bro, he literally, like, it wasn't just like a sucker punch. It was like some UFC jumps up, like he just full force, ball, and he just and got slapped. The worst part is he got knocked out. And everybody's just watching it.
In context, too. When he was like, because they said Poole was like, oh, you're an expensive backpack for 30, bro. And just it's like, that's your, bop.
And no, bro, where is Jordan Poole now? Like, that's the craziest part to think about, right? Like that punch ruined his career so far. I'm not writing him off. I'll never write off a player until they retire. I still think Jordan Poole, I think he gets too much hate. I think he can still find a role somewhere on a team. I don't think he's a main guy, which is what they're trying to make him in Washington. But as of right now, Draymond Green ruined Jordan Poole's career. He went from a ring, and then he got that ring, got punched, and then he spent $500,000 on an ice spice.
Draymond Green.
And then he took ice spice for $500,000, and then I where is he now? But I'd say Jordan Poole first. The nut kick has to be second because that's what started it all. Like, it is an infamous moment.
That sounds like some nostalgia bias to me.
Yeah, I gotta go with it. I gotta go with it. And then number three. Oh, that's hard, man. There's so many moments to stomp.
The swipe at LeBron's nuts when he swiped.
That wasn't as much of a menace moment as
like. Do you mind if I give out? I'm not gonna go top three because I can't choose. But one of my favorite moments in NBA history, aside from the Tim Hardaway calling the ref safe, that's generational.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Draymond Green running full court to try to chase down block a Rockets player. I think it was KPJ. Falling on the ground. Break
Did
goes.
He run into him?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Warriors were on offense. He falls down. KPJ gets on the break. He runs full court. No goes doesn't go for the ball, just straight up tackles KPJ.
I have my third spot now. When Draymond grabbed the board and it was a game winner situation against the Clippers and Kevin Durant's clapping for the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And falls.
He did. He just plummeted. Like,
there was another time on a game winning possession, I think, late against the Celtics. He flipped Isaiah Thomas on a screen. Like, suplex. All right, I gotta get to the Knicks.
Let's talk about the Knicks so we can talk about the Steph Curry stuff at the end.
Yeah. All right, so as far as the trade deadline goes, I first saw like the first Knicks move that was popped up on my Instagram feed was Burks for Grimes and like a second. And that was like, you know, Alec Burks, like don't get it twisted. He is a Knicks legend. I think he's shooting 40-something% on the Pistons this year, which is impressive considering how pathetic their offense was. But he is like a solidified New York Knicks legend. Was incredible in the 2021 playoffs. He was probably better than Julius Randle that series. It was him and Derrick Rose against the world. So for him to be back, I mean, he got kind of tarnished because Tibbs decided to play him at point guard in 2022 because the injuries we had. So point Burks did not exactly work. But he has been a dog. He is going to be a dog. And in terms of like, if it was straight up Burks for Grimes, I would not be all that mad. I was still a little confused because Grimes has upside. I understand he's not playoff ready. And despite his, when he gets hot, Grimes gets hot. He's just very inconsistent in terms of his aggressiveness. So shipping him off to the Shadow Realm in Detroit, I was like, all right. But then I see the update where that was not the full trade. And it turned out to be Bojan and Burks for Evan Fournier's contract, Malachi Flynn, Evil Dante DiVincenzo. They got Ryan Arcidiacono, Mr. No Points in a game this season, and Grimes, and like a second. No first for a 20-point-per-game scorer who shoots like 44% from three in Bojan, and Alec Burks. I am ecstatic.
Bro, the Knicks, and this is one thing that this is what I wish Oklahoma did. Right? Where it's like they saw what they needed to address and they pulled the trigger. And I think this is the Knicks' best shot at a run since I started watching basketball. Genuinely. Yeah. I don't think I've ever like seen, I don't think I've ever thought of the Knicks this highly going into, based on paper. I got to see how they play out that second half of the season.
Yeah, because there's no projects left on the team. I mean, exactly. Deuce is young, but this is a finalized team. Unfortunately, of course, the 1 year we look good. Injuries just plague us. So yeah. Hopefully everyone could get healthy, but you potentially have a lineup where you got Brunson. DiVincenzo will start over Bojan. DiVincenzo, Anunoby, Randall. Mitch Robb might not even start because Hartenstein's been balling. Then you got a backup lineup, including Burks and Bojan. That's a lot of firepower and scoring.
Right.
With Precious Achiuwa, who has been very solid as a starting four.
Right.
Hartenstein or Mitch, and then Deuce, who's been someone who you could definitely see why they didn't trade. Because I would have personally liked to see him in a couple first go for Brogdon to get a steadier hand. But this team is like very well rounded, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like
you, you guys were close to getting Bruce Brown.
But, yeah, I saw he was trying to hype himself up as a Tibbs player. He wanted
They made an offer for him, but Toronto said no. It was a Fournier and a first and a second round pick.
Okay, I'd rather Bojan, but
nice. Let's talk a little bit about Z's boy here. I know we're not going to talk about Golden State's trade deadline because there wasn't a trade deadline. Chris Paul is still in a Warriors jersey, so I don't want to live you through that. So let's talk about something a little happier. We all know what happened, so I'm going to let Z talk about it because it's about 2 days since we started recording after the event, and we have a claim to discuss, don't we?
We do. That claim is Steph Curry clutch or not? And I've seen it in the comment section numerous times within the last like 2 years, honestly, since he won a championship and had one of the greatest playoff runs we've ever seen. But whatever. The claim itself may or may not have been put to bed the other night when Steph once again killed Kevin Durant on national television with a shot. 360 no scope.
I didn't even clue in. He actually does destroy Kevin Durant on national television.
All the time. But here's the thing. OKC fans like saying he remembered, what, 6-8 years ago? Something like that. The shot in February, I think it was February 27th or something like that. Mike Breen's double bang. Steph hit that with 0.6 seconds left on the clock. And if I remember correctly, it was some shot after that was like didn't Rush shoot after that, like try to get it off and it didn't even,
yeah, it was like, bro, it was like 0.6 0.3 seconds, like something crazy, and Kevin Durant was fouled out at that point, like,
yeah. So because it's not a buzzer beater, I guess Steph isn't clutch. Crazy. Now the other night, Brandon Podziemski throws the worst pass of the season. Bradley Beal takes a gamble. Steph 360 no scope for game. Kevin Durant's immediate reaction they show is just him looking up and smiling, getting PTSD from what he did to him, but whatever. So Hoop, you're the one that I think may or may not believe that Steph is clutch. I don't know. I hope to God that isn't the case, but we're going to find out. As soon as he finished swallowing his nuts, then he can answer the question.
Stop saying that, man.
Oh, I'm just his mixed nuts.
I'm trying to have my almonds and cashews and peanuts, and you don't have to say it like that. But it depends on what your definition of clutch is. if you're going to tell me right now that you want Steph Curry down 2 or 3 at the end of the game with one possession left, going one-on-one with someone, I disagree. I think Steph Curry is a clutch player based off my definition of clutch. So I guess I pose the question to you guys, what is clutch? Like, are we saying it's a last second shot attempt? You got to create something for yourself. Are we saying it's just a shot within the last 2 minutes of the game? Are we saying it's the ability to create a play in the last play or the last 2 minutes of the game, last 5 minutes of the game? What are we saying?
So to me, clutch is one of the most subjective terms in basketball in the last few years, maybe 4 or 5 years. Same thing with the GOAT debate. It's become very subjective. It's your preference, whatever. What annoys me about the whole clutch thing is how at one point it was in the final 2 minutes. The next day it's in the last 30 seconds. The next day it's in the last 5 minutes. So really at the end of the day, I don't think it's really that complicated. It is, to me, like, case in point, that's like me saying that Devin Booker in that Suns game was not clutch. Meanwhile, They're down 6 points with like a minute 30 left.
He turned up.
He turned the hell up. He hit three straight shots, including a walk-in three, like a walk-up three. And that put him down four. And then you're like, oh, okay, they might have a shot. Or put him down three, and then you're like, oh, they got a shot. The point of the matter is, because of Steph Curry's shot, you can't say that Devin Booker choked the game away. He didn't have a chance to get the shot. Kevin Durant didn't have a chance to get the shot up. We'll never know if they would have hit it or not. But that doesn't take away from what we just saw from Devin Booker. So to me, in the final at least 5 minutes of a game, if your team is down and you turn up the way Devin Booker did, that would be considered clutch to me. If you are in a situation where – same thing goes where if you're in a situation where the game is on the line, the Warriors are down, I think, one or two to the Suns, and then Steph hits that deep three, puts them up one, that's clutch to me. Sorry. So for me, it's as simple as that. Like, what you do in the pivotal moments of a game, which you could consider, most would consider the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, that's clutch. There's no other way around it. But
yeah. I think it's a little even more complicated than that, because I don't want to sit here and say that because Steph Curry in the past has had to, or we could debate if it's had to or not based off what Steve Kerr does and what the Warriors have. But I think back to a game against LA where Steph had two game winning shot attempts, both with AD draped all over him. And against even, it's considered a mismatch, but AD's very good at recovering mm-hmm. on defense. Mm-hmm. I still don't consider Steph like, he's great in isolation compared to the average role player. He's incredible, but he's not an isolation star. So mm-hmm. if you're talking about one-on-one, dribble the ball on the court, everyone's screaming ISO, I'm not putting my money on Steph like I would, I don't know, Luka or, I don't, Kawhi. KD potentially.
KD for sure.
Obviously, when the double comes, that's when we've seen KD struggle against the Celtics and stuff like that. But even I've seen Steph really struggle against single coverage. And I think that's where a lot of this not clutch talk comes into play, when in reality, how is Steph getting most of his points throughout the game? For the majority of his career, off ball, great ball movement, mm-hmm. not draining the clock and trying to find a last second opportunity. Right. So that's why I blame the Warriors for trying to do this. They have Draymond Green setting the table the whole game, and they have Klay and Steph run off screens. Except with the last 30 seconds of the game, Steph, go make something happen. You didn't do that all game.
I see what you're saying.
I feel like in terms of
a rhythm
of like,
game too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Warriors for sure.
So in terms of him not being clutch, I think that's ridiculous, because I think a huge part of being clutch is not just winning a game, it's also not losing a game.
Exactly.
And if
exactly.
you want to say that Steph's a front runner, that's yeah. cool. He's one of the greatest front runners out there. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that if your team consistently wins. Like if you're gonna get penalized for your team winning and you being clutch to shut the door. He is excellent at shutting the door, and I think a lot of this negative talk with him not being clutch is a complete misunderstanding. And it could be Steve Kerr's fault, could be the Warriors' fault for just saying, Steph, go make something happen. Mm-hmm. But that's my stance. He's clutch, but not in the way that a lot of people would think of it. Like, I'd still take Dame for a last second, ISO attempt, yeah. KD. There's a lot of other guys
yeah.
I'd take.
Yeah. I'm going to let Saintly go, because I'm going to answer that in a second.
So Hoop's initial question was, what is our definition of clutch? And here's what I have to say about it. It's similar to what Z said. There's bits and points of what Hoop said that I would definitely add on to it, that it's not only winning a game, it's not only coming back from a game, it's also holding a lead, right? Like, it's also not losing when you're up. But to me, clutch, and again, like Z said, I think the best way he worded it was it's subjective. It's really about like how analytical you take the game, how much attention you actually pay to the game. And I think that now it's something that we'll never be able to relate to, but it's something that once you really put your mind to it and you think about it, you can only imagine the pressure. To me, it's not the last 5 minutes of the game. It's when adversity is against, like when the adversity hits, right? Like, are you going to not only play the same level of basketball you're expected to, but rise to this situation? Now, this could be being down 20 in the fourth quarter. This could mean mm-hmm. being down 30 at halftime, whatever it may be,
like a 9-0 run, when
9-0
up,
run, whatever, something yeah. crazy, right? It doesn't just, and here's where I don't like the analytical side of clutch stats, is that it only measures within the last 5 minutes if the game is within 5 points. I don't think that's fair at all, because let's say hypothetically, and I'm sure there's a situation like this, there's a player who enters the game and they're down 15 in the fourth, right? And they spark a 10-0 run in the sixth minute, mm-hmm. right? And now the game is within 5 points, but then they miss the last three shots they take within those last few minutes. And then the clutch stats say they're 0-3. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I don't really like the analytical side of it, because I feel like unless you really watch the game, you can never fully judge a player if he's clutch or not. Like, for example, Kevin Durant missing that three against Milwaukee after he hit that turnaround three, that counts right. as a missed shot right. in his clutch and in his, when you look back on history, right? So Grenades I can look at a guy too. Like, I can look at a guy like Kevin Durant and be like, oh, when I use like all time debates or with clutch, I'll be like, oh, he has this many missed shots, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, bro, go look at those missed shots, right? Like, go look at those mm-hmm. situations. Tell me what really happened in those situations. Kobe's seen as one of the most clutch players of all time, but he has a horrendous field goal percentage when mm-hmm. it comes to game winning attempts. Am I wrong when I say this? I think it's like 6 for 23 or something in the last few minutes of a game. But would you tell me that Kobe's not clutch? No, you don't want to bring up the stats when it comes to players that we recognize and we watch a lot, right? But there's mm-hmm. a lot of players like that that go under the radar because, again, a lot of us are stat nerds. And I've been a victim of it. I've been a guy who is a stat merchant. And just I'll be honest, like when I was prepping in previous episodes, I would only look at stats. I wouldn't really look at more. I wouldn't tend to look at the film more. Mm-hmm. But once you really start to look into it and you realize like, okay, well, shit. Like, I don't think any NBA player would make that shot triple teamed. I don't think anybody in that situation is really doing anything. So my definition of clutch is somebody, again, who the odds are against them. Everything points to them losing that game, and they find a way to win, or they find a way to put their team back in the game. That's clutch to me. And I know, like Hoop said, where he mentioned, like, is clutch to you just hitting a game-winning shot, blah, blah, blah. I think that's all a part of it, where it's like you just have to be able to not only play the level of basketball you expected, I'll say it again, but rise to the situation. So when I think of clutch players, I think of guys like LeBron. I don't think LeBron has those clutch allegations anymore, but remember we used to say that LeBron wasn't clutch? Right, yeah, like that whole thing, like LeBron.
And that's a whole misunderstanding with like him being ISO jumper clutch.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Like
mid range pull up clutch.
Exactly,
clutch.
He's a perfect example of that. And again, like a guy like Steph Curry, like just like Hoop said, well, if their whole game and the whole game they played is again Draymond setting the table, you know, it's an off ball movement, and then now Steph has to just do some random shit like what
hero ball.
What are you expecting, right?
And honestly, go ahead, finish.
And then, for example, like LeBron James in 2013 in the finals, did he not score like the last 10 points for the Miami Heat? And then he missed that three, and then everybody only points to Ray Allen hitting that shot. And they're mm-hmm. like, LeBron got bailed out by Ray Allen in the clutch. He's not clutch. But it's like, bro, how do they get to that situation, right? They were down that game. They were down 3-2 in the finals at home. LeBron goes on a scoring spree, and he misses that one shot. So now we're going to dictate his whole clutch gene on that one shot. But they're not even in a position for that one shot to be taken if it's not for LeBron James. And this is where people tend to contradict themselves. And then that's why the way I see the clutch gene or a player who is clutch, the way I look at it is, can I count on them more than I can count on this person if I need somebody to go get me a bucket?
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say to Hoop and say both their points. I mean, saying the perfect analogy was the LeBron one, because I was literally going to mention that in mind. But I think the way I look at it is, like you said, in the biggest moments of adversity, right? You can either do one or two things to me. Like, either you're going to be clutch or you're going to choke. I immediately think to, like, for example, Game 6 Clay, 2016, right?
That's the whole game. That's
serious. Clutch. Exactly.
Yeah, because they're down 3-1 as a 73-9 team. And just like Hoop said, it's a perfect point to what Hoop said. It's not just about losing, or it's about coming back after losing. It's about, can you hold the lead? And the Warriors, they were 73-9. Like, can you hold that title of being a 73-9 team?
Being down 3-1 to this team that just punched y'all in the mouth. Like, and another thing too, like, even with that series, Hoop's front runner point. If Steph is a front runner, he's the greatest front runner, clutch merchant, like whatever, of all time, right? However, the Thunder were up in that series, right? We point to game 6 and 7 and we say nowadays, oh, KD and Russ, they just started missing shots. They were hitting everything in the first like four games, and then they fell off a cliff in the last couple ones. But if they hit those shots, are we going to call, are we going to acknowledge the clutchness in that? Because you're up on a team, like Sandy just said, that is 73-9. You have the perfect opportunity to knock them out of the playoffs. If you hold that, I am not going to look at you and say, you know, you're not clutch for that. You did something that was, you, the adversity was stacked from stacked against you from the jump, from the moment that they walked into the marquee matchup. So, like, it is what it is. But that's the thing that annoys me the most, is that I feel like Steph and LeBron, for example, and maybe Kevin Durant, only maybe Kawhi, only three or four players, only three or four players that I'm sitting here like, yo, there is no narrative that you can throw at them at this stage in their career that they haven't already destroyed. LeBron in the clutch narrative, started by Skip Bayless, who said and wanted to specify by saying, oh, LeBron runs from the free throw line at the end of games. Now, when you look at LeBron at the end of, at the end of a game and at the free throw line or something like that, he can knock down not just one or two of them. He can knock down both of them. Like, that narrative's done. Steph being clutch. They first, Max Kellerman tried to spin it with the death beams pointing at the earth bullshit. Iguodala. And then now Iguodala had to literally go on national television and tell that man that he was out of his mind. Like, stop. What are you doing? Like, let's give Steph his flowers. At the end of the game, everybody knows that he's getting the ball. Like, everybody in the arena knows. Same thing with Kobe. Kobe's not clutch. Would you give Kobe the ball with the game on the line against your team that you're coaching? I don't think so. I genuinely don't think you would do that. LeBron, MJ, list goes on. Like, I feel like certain players just should not have that label put upon them if they've beaten it plenty times over. LeBron, I could point to game 7, 2013 against the Spurs. He had a shot that put them up. It was a dagger. It put him up like 5 in that game. But what? Is it not clutch because it wasn't a buzzer beater? Like, what are we doing? Like, come on. But yeah, that's my spill. That's my spill. Stupid.
I think 50 minutes. Okay. Well, we're doing great at covering the length of these episodes. Every time we go on, I'm like, do we have enough topics? But I forgot that we can just spitball for a while. But that, I think this is a great way to wrap up the episode. I think this was a great first episode back. Definitely gave it. I think the best comment I saw on the last episode was, this gives me 2022 summer vibes.
I saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be back. This was fun. We'll see you guys again 1 week from now. All right, well, if you made it this far in the episode, if you're listening on Spotify, make sure to follow us, leave a rating, you know, let us know what you thought of the episode. There's a whole little interactive section. If you're on Apple Podcasts, again, same sort of deal, leave a rating, blah blah blah, yada yada yada. Subscribe on YouTube. I'm not gonna get all bot and all generic subscribe, blah, blah, blah. If you like the show, keep listening. We appreciate you guys sticking around, and we're really excited to bring you guys regular episodes again. Peace.